Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo. Come on. Have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo and Austin. Hi. I didn't really think about like what I wanted to say here. We've been gone for a long time. A bunch of stuff happened, basically, that kept us from recording. But we're back now. I'm sure you missed us. Our metrics say that you did miss us. But we're here. NBA season in full swing now. What? Go ahead.
You made a joke. Good job, buddy. Good joke. I'm so proud of you.
I don't actually know what the joke was because I didn't make a joke. Regardless, we're back. Regardless, we're back.
Oh, my God.
2024-2025 season is officially in full swing by the time this episode releases. We will be a week into the season. It is what it is. Like, you can't go back and change it, so we're just gonna have to deal with it. So what we're gonna do today, in case you've forgotten who we are,
yeah,
no, you didn't.
Yeah,
I'm not. Statistically speaking, they forgot us after 2 weeks, but it's not. It's been 8 weeks. It has been 8 weeks. That's crazy.
It'll be the 9 week anniversary when this
It'll be the 9 week anniversary of our last episode. Yeah, that's how time works. Thank you. Okay. So we're just going to go ahead and do some predictions for this season just to kind of get them out of the way so that we can look back on them next year. What do you guys want to start with? Do you want to start with...
Ren will miss more than 2 weeks of basketball episodes in the next season.
I won't. I have the most open availability of all of us. Two, this isn't about us. This is about the NBA. We're a basketball podcast. We're not critiquing or commenting on our own shortcomings as individuals. That is a rabbit hole our listeners do not want to go down, and none of us are qualified for. So, where do you guys want to start? Do we want to start with awards and then do team predictions?
You know what? Sure. Sure, man.
Okay, we will start with the gusto. We will just go straight to the MVP. We are going to come back and just slap it on the counter. We are going straight to the MVP. Who do you guys have as your... And listener at home, so we just wanted to record. There's not been a ton of preparation that's gone into this. It's going to be more of our old school episodes. If you've been listening to us for a long time, this is more like back in the day, like the episodes that don't exist anymore, like with Adam, and then the early episodes with Austin, where we kind of were just freelance offensing this shit. So that's what we're going to do today. And then we'll be back to normal on our next episode in 9 weeks or whatever. So MVP, who do you guys have for both your, let's call it a standard pick, and then who do you think is going to be a dark horse? Okay. So, like, standard pick is, let's be real, it's going to be either Luka, Shea, or Jokic, right?
Yep.
Dark horse would be literally anyone else. So, I'm going to be the, I'll be the guinea pig. I'll jump into it.
I was going to be the guinea pig, but okay.
Oh, you want to be the guinea pig? Go ahead and be the guinea pig. I just didn't know if you were ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Bitch, I'm always ready. This is my third time in this fucking studio. I'm not going to lie. I have been in or around this studio since 10 o'clock this morning. It is now 5 o'clock in the afternoon for those. I've been ready. I got you, buddy.
It is.
Got you, buddy. I got you, buddy. Fuck you. But I don't think Luka's going to win it. I don't think Shea's going to win it. I think this year, Jason Tatum is going to win the MVP.
Okay.
Okay, is that your main? Or is that your?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a main. That's a main. I would say that's like up.
Yes,
like
that's a main.
You think's really in the top five? I think that's right. The only qualm I have with it, right, is
he plays with Jaylen Brown.
He plays with too many good players. It's not just Jaylen Brown. Like Jaylen Brown is one of those guys that he's not going to garner like top finishing MVP votes, but he's going to get some MVP votes.
So here's the thing. So, if it hasn't been proven yet, MVP voters are stupid. If Kendrick Perkins didn't make that point obvious.
Listen. In any form of humanity, voters are pretty stupid. Let's be real.
Okay, fair.
Doesn't matter what it is.
So, I think that the MVP... This is reality. The MVP is dictated by team success.
Absolutely.
Meaning your team has to get so many wins to get there. And I think if the Boston Celtics aren't a lock to get the amount of wins you need to qualify for an MVP, I don't know what team is. Quite honestly. I think it's the safest pick.
Because objectively, if we're arguing win totals, like it's not that far-fetched to say that the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to win a similar amount of games. I don't think that's an absurd thing to say. I don't.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
What's close? Like what's similar?
Like yeah, within five. Close? Like within five. Like it's not going to be.
That's not very close.
That's not close.
I think when you're talking like 60 plus wins, it's pretty close. When you're talking like 60 wins to 55 wins, that's.
So let me ask you this. If you would have predicted the West, the difference between the 2 seed and the 12 seed is how many games? I'm just curious.
Like 1.5. One and two are going to be pretty far ahead of the pack. And I think that's not crazy to say. I think the East is going to be more competitive this year than the West for the first time in like two decades. And just think of all the changes that have happened in the East. Like, one of the, like, all right, let's go through the list, okay? Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers, New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers, Orlando Magic, Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, and that's it, okay? One of those teams is going to be a play-in team. Those are all legitimately good teams. Mm-hmm. That's the first time we've been able to say, like, who's going to be on the outside looking in and it still be competitive. Because any one of those teams can go on a run. So, no, I think the East is going to be a lot more competitive. I still think the Celtics finish as the one seed. Spoilers for our later predictions. And I think they finish as the one seed for the entire league. But they also have the most broken roster I think we've ever seen in the NBA. At least in the starting five.
Got some bench depth. Like their six man is probably better than anyone else's six man too.
Yeah, I mean they've got solid pieces. Top to bottom, absolutely. I just in the modern NBA with parity, I don't know if they're that much better than the Thunder in the regular season. Playoffs, like you can make an argument. Like, I think they've got... Because they're going to be beating up on the same teams. It doesn't matter. Like, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter if the Celtics are this good and the Thunder are this much worse when their competition... Like, would you say it's fair to say the top two teams in the NBA this season are likely going to be the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yes, it's unfair to say that.
On paper.
It's unfair to say that.
On paper.
No. I think you're wrong. I think you're flat out wrong.
Who's better?
The Mavericks.
That's tough. We'll get to that in a second. So let's...
I mean, I'm not going to argue. You're
devil's
right.
advocacy here. Let's pretend, okay, to the listeners at home, we're letting Angelo pretend here.
Oh my God, I've tried. The Mavs got Clay. Yeah, I might be on Angelo's side here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, this isn't a debate. You're just wrong, Ren. Sorry, buddy.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, who, spoiler alert, is my dark horse for most improved, because let's be real, Victor Wembanyama is winning that award. Spoiler for my predictions on that one. Ja Morant ruined that award.
Yeah, he did.
Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, Chet Holmgren, Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, let's not... Don't get me wrong. Luka, Kyrie, Lively, Clay, like, that's a great core. It's a great core. Its ceiling is probably higher than the Thunder's ceiling, but its floor is absolutely not.
I hate to say it, Ren, but you don't predict how many games you're going to win based on the floor.
Yeah.
You've got to hit the ceiling, because otherwise, like, if we're talking just ceiling, like, the Spurs should be in the NBA Finals this year. Because ceiling is higher than anyone else's.
So here's the thing. It would not shock me if the Mavericks finished in the standings higher than the Thunder. It would shock me if anyone in the East finished higher than the standings in the Celtics. Just bar none.
I don't know.
Fact or fiction?
I think it's fiction. I think that the West is the Thunder's to lose. They're too good defensively. Like, that's the part that we're sleeping on here, because not only are they elite offensively, but they are so good defensively. That's not a fictional thing. Like, that's pretty much fact. Like, they have two of the best wing defenders in the NBA, or guard defenders, in a league run by guards. But let's get back to the devil's advocacy here. So let's assume the two best teams are the Celtics and the Thunder, right? How many times do they play each other each year?
Twice.
Right. They're not going to be facing each other. They're going to be beating up on the same people beneath them.
No, they're not.
And I'm not saying necessarily the Thunder are better than the Celtics. I'm just saying that, like, it's Celtics, Thunder, everyone else.
So here's the thing. You had a discussion where you weren't actually sure who you were predicting who is going to be last in the West. So let me ask you this. Who's going to be last in the East?
Last in the East will be the Washington Wizards.
Or the Brooklyn Nets. Much time to think about that. Weird. So they play the Wizards four times. That team that you're not sure who's going to finish last in the West, the Thunder, have to play four times. It's not the same. They're not beating up on the same amount of people. They do play different
but
teams.
But what I'm,
different
what
amount
I'm more
of
saying is the gap between, because I've said after two, the West is a crapshoot. I think that one and two are better than the rest of the West. And spoiler, I think that's still the Nuggets. Until they prove otherwise. Look, Jokic is still the best basketball player on this planet right now. I get you will have your whole comrades argument and blah, blah, blah. Until proven otherwise, he's the best player on this planet.
I mean, he didn't have his comrades against the Thunder, and I see how that went.
You win some, you lose some. You can't win every year. Like, that's just not how it works. Are we going to say that the years LeBron James didn't win in the playoffs, he wasn't the best in the world? No, because he was the best in the world. It would be stupid
to
say otherwise.
Well, here's the thing. He made it to the finals when his teammates weren't.
Not every year.
Yes, Ren. Every year. every year for a decade straight.
But we don't, like, we don't say that just because you don't win, you're not the most talented. You're not the winningest. We can say that. But in terms of pure basketball talent, there's currently no one better as of the end of last season than Nikola Jokic. And until that changes this season,
there's a debate, honestly.
There's a debate, but I don't, I can't in good conscience say that debate is done until we see this season. This season, absolutely. Like, there are a few players that could take that mantle. Luka, Jason Tatum, Wembanyama. It's possible. SGA. It's absolutely possible for someone else to take that mantle. But until that happens, Nikola Jokic is the best player on the planet right now. Yeah. We're three games into the regular season so far.
Jokic as of didn't even report. Make it to the finals last year.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. When Steph Curry did not make the finals, did it mean he wasn't the best shooter of all time? No, because that doesn't matter.
And you were not arguing. We're arguing about who's the best player in the NBA right now, this year. In one season, not all time.
No, but I'm saying as of the end of last year, Nikola Jokic is the best player on the planet.
No.
It's not art. Like, you.
What about this
season? It is.
I've said three times now, like, this season, it could be him passing the mantle to someone else.
Is he passing it, or is he getting overtaken?
Overtaken. Passing the mantle is a figure of speech, Austin. Don't be pedantic. Well, you're not Angelo.
Get a better figure of speech.
How about them Cowboys?
Ouch.
I wore black today because I'm celebrating the funeral that is our season.
You should have actually been on the episodes we talked about. I think Alex must have ranted for 5 or 10 minutes straight about the Cowboys.
Good.
I wish you were there.
Good.
But no, until otherwise noted, he is the most talented. And I'm only talking about skill. Like, you only... Does the best player in the world win every year? No. That's not how that works. It's a team sport. The best team doesn't always win. See, it's sports. Sports are not, like, if we knew, okay, this is the best player and the best team, they win, like, there's no reason to watch it, right? We have upsets. Those upsets don't mean that team or that player isn't that good. They're still that good. They just got upset. Sports are runs. Like, sometimes you get hot at the right time and Caleb Williams carries you to the finals and everyone acts like you're the greatest thing ever. Sometimes you lose to a team that's being carried by Caleb Williams and then, like, you're like, wow, that Caleb Williams guy was not Caleb Williams. Why am I saying Caleb Williams? Caleb Martin. It's because we were talking football. Yeah. Caleb Martin. Replace everything I just said with Caleb Martin. And then, like, you're beat by Caleb Martin, and then everyone's like, oh, man, that guy that scored 6 points, he really carried everyone. Him. He is him. No, that's not how it works. Sometimes you lose. It's fine. It's sports. Win it next time. That doesn't change the fact that put ball in hoop, you are better than everyone else. You might not have been tonight, but overall you are. The fact remains, every single advanced metric shows Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world. He is the best player at getting his team to put the ball in the hoop more than the other team. That's not arguable. You can eye test the shit. Go for it. Every single stat says Nikola Jokic was the best player in the world last season. We're three games into this season. This season, someone else can take that mantle, which is what we're discussing. Who's going to be MVP this year?
Luka.
He is the odds-on favorite.
So I'm the Luka guy that always predicts Luka every year.
So you're not going to do it this year and going to be wrong like you always are. I mean, we know.
Okay, so this is some This is some 4D chess. I always pick Luka and he never wins it. I'm going Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, so Luka wins it.
Sorry, Shai.
I've been right on other awards. I'm never right on MVP because I always pick Luka.
Because you wanted to anoint him before he was right.
And you both talked at the same time. Nobody knows what either of you said.
It's okay.
Austin, who do you have?
Did I not just say Luka?
Did you say Luka? I thought you were just like being.
Oh no! Yeah, Luka. No, actually, Luka.
I think Luka is a safe pick. I think like we saw last year in the playoffs, a different elevation of Luka that we've seen so far this season to be accurate. Like I think last night. Yeah, 12 for 25, 40 points, 10 rebounds, only 4 assists, but like we know Luka's going to average around 8. Actually, he'll probably average around 9 because they have more options now for him. Yeah. I just, if that team stays healthy, I think they can easily make a run. It's going to...
You're the one seed if they stay healthy.
If they stay healthy. I think that depends on Derek Lively's development. Because the problem is we're in a guard-oriented league, absolutely, and now you finally have someone like... Klay Thompson now is not Klay Thompson of 5 years ago. Like, he's not an all-defensive team. But he can still match up against most one options.
Mm-hmm.
The question is going to be, is Derek Lively far enough along in development where he can match up against the Paolo Bancheros, the Joel Embiids, the Nikola Jokic's, even the Giannis Antetokounmpo's, because that's who they're going to rely on to stop that man. There's so many good big players. What is Lively ready for that challenge? Because we know Luka's good, we know Kyrie's good, we know Klay is probably, this is the best possible situation for him since his prime. But how are they going to stop those players? And I think that's my biggest concern with the Mavericks is 1 through 3, they're amazing. 4 is, and then 5 is a question mark. Like, how much has Derek Lively grown this offseason? Dark Horses. Who do you have as your Dark Horse MVP pick? Angelo, go, since you started it.
I have a few people in mind, but I'm just gonna ask, does Nikola Jokic count as a dark horse? Yes or no?
Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm just curious. I'm just asking questions here. Go ahead. Answer that question before I give you my dark horse.
Hold on. What I'm gonna do.
The answer is no, Angelo.
Hold on. We're going to Vegas.
Go for it.
Not NFL. No one cares about the NFL. NBA. The odds of winning. The number one is currently Luka Doncic at +340. Mm-mm. Jokic is at +1,000.
Oh. So he's below
it. But it's okay. he's number 4. So no, I would not say he's a dark horse.
Number 5.
He's number 4.
He's number 5.
On the list I'm looking at, he's number 4.
He's number 5.
On the list I'm looking at, he's number 4.
On the Vegas odds, he is number 5 behind Anthony Edwards.
On which sports booking? Because I'm looking at one that averages 5 of the most used apps, and Bet he is number 4.
Bet MGM Sports. He is number 5.
MGM. Yes, on MGM, he is number 5. You are correct. But on across all of them, he averages at number 4.
Okay.
So we are going with number 4.
So no. Okay, so now I can give an actual answer. Zion Williamson. Ooh. He will have a healthy season and he will win MVP.
Interesting.
I think the hottest take there is he'll have a healthy season.
Yeah.
That's not a bad pick. I don't hate that at all, honestly, because if Zion is healthy, and we've seen this all happened during our sabbatical here. Zion lost a lot of weight, and that's going to be contingent on him staying healthy, I think. if he's healthy and nothing major changes, and that's the biggest question mark for me, is I think Zion will benefit from consistency, but it's looking like the Pelicans are going to probably try to sell during the trade deadline if they're not in contention. And like moving a player like Brandon Ingram, who's been with Zion his whole career, it's going to impact Zion's performance. And again, a healthy Zion, there's few players that are more unstoppable. I think prime Giannis is the only one that comes to mind. So I like that pick. That's a good dark horse pick, honestly.
Oh, I know.
Austin, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You can go.
So my dark horse is Anthony Edwards. And the reason I'm saying he's a dark horse is because of that wins thing.
So I then, think, what? So then you lied to me and Nikola Jokic is a dark horse.
right next to him. On mine, Anthony Edwards is number 7. Do you want me to switch to a different one?
No, you're good.
I can switch to another one because I have another one.
You're good. Keep going.
No, you know what? I'm switching it. Jalen Brunson, fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
Ew.
So I don't... I am a loyal Pacers fan, and I hate the New York Knicks more than probably anyone. But there's no denying that the New York Knicks are going to win a lot of games. And Jalen Brunson is going to score a lot of points.
I think that's going to happen, though.
Those two things are critical to the development of an MVP season. You have to win, and you have to be the key contributing point. Now, the Knicks got a lot better this year. It's debatable. I stopped myself. It's debatable because I think defensively they got a lot better. I don't think that's necessarily an argument because I don't think the difference between Isaiah Hartenstein and Karl Anthony Towns defensively is that much of a difference when you compare the fact that they added Mikal Bridges and a healthy OG Anunoby. So they're going to win a lot of games. They're probably going to be 2-3 in the East. I have a hot take for that when we get to those predictions. And then Jalen Brunson is the driving force of this offense, regardless of who's on the team. He's going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that if there's going to be someone that's not in those top 5 or 6, depending on how you look at it, it's going to be Jalen Brunson. So, yep. Brunson, dark horse, MVP, book it.
Okay. Mine is Anthony Davis.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Kind of like the Zion. If he stays healthy, I could see AD winning it.
So that's like... like, we're over here like, man, this player's got to average like 30 and 10. You're just like, man, AD's just got to play 65.
Yeah.
It really is that simple, though.
It really is that simple. But it. Well.
Friends flabbergasted.
Where does Bronny play into this?
G League.
Averaging 2 points a game?
He's in the G League.
What do you want? And they're in the G
League. He's going to split time between the G League and the NBA. Don't kid yourselves.
The only reason he's splitting time is because Dad says so.
We are going to get. Like, there is, at some point in this season, it's finally going to happen. We are going to have the Dwayne Wade to LeBron behind the back alley-oop picture, but with Bronny at the front. Like, it's going to happen. Also, let's talk about Dwayne Wade real quick. That statue.
Terrible statue.
It is the worst statue. The only, okay, Cristiano Ronaldo's statue is worse. It's so bad that I think Ronaldo paid for it to be taken down.
Yeah, they redid it.
Yeah, like, if you've never seen it, like, the Dwayne Wade statue is bad. Go look at the Ronaldo statue, the original one. It's rough, and it makes you... So, Austin, history teacher time.
What?
Is it, like... You look at, like, Pantheon statues in, like, ancient Greece, right? Mm-hmm. And they're so good. They're so detailed. What are we doing? The sports statues have been horrible for like 20 years now.
You want my honest opinion or my...
Yeah, 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 go for it. Do they just sell to the highest or the lowest bidder?
Yeah. Okay. That and there's no care for what they produce.
That's true. Like, those the ancient statues were like...
They turn them out. What? They turn them out for profit. Yeah. They don't turn them out just to make good art.
You guys are aware that, like, those things are made with, like, slave labor and the actual societies didn't actually, like, build them. They orchestrated them. They made the designs, but they didn't actually physically do the building.
Today I learned Michelangelo was a slave.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, it's just, like, they would spend, like, years... we're not talking like the monuments. Like
Yeah.
Statue you're not talking David. Like pyramids and stuff. You're talking just like
the marble. No. Like the marbles.
David. Like, but they would spend like years on one statue. Like, whereas now we're like, we got to have it out in 2 months. Go. It's just horrible. Most improved player. Again, I think this is one that, like, for who's going to win it, I think we will all agree. Unless an injury happens. Actually, you know, I forgot Austin's here. Austin will not agree. Angelo, who do you have as your main pick for most improved player?
The main one?
Main one. Easy money. If, like, betting odds were 1-to-1. Like, you bet a dollar, you get a dollar. Like, it's not a high-risk bet.
Oh, Victor Wembanyama.
Yes, absolutely. It's easy. Ja Morant ruined this award, and that's who is likely going to win it.
Yeah.
I don't even think we need to discuss or debate it, because, like, he's going to have market improvement. He's got one of the best passing point guards of all time on his team.
You know what would be funny and would also break Austin?
What?
If Wemby simultaneously in one season won MVP and most improved.
Is that even possible?
Yes. Now it is. I think I just broke Ren.
You did.
I don't know what to say about that.
It's true.
Like, I fucked up my dark horse.
You didn't. Ja Morant did.
Oh, man.
Most improved.
I just want to know what Austin's is, like, his main pick.
I'm just trying to think.
Because I feel like there's a few good candidates.
Franz Wagner.
Franz Wagner, that's a decent one, honestly. I was going to, like, play devil's advocate and not pick Wemby. Mine would have been Jalen Williams.
That can be your dark horse, because I don't...
No, my dark horse is a homer pick. It's Andrew Nembhard, fuck you.
Okay.
But Franz is a really good pick. I think that, again, the Magic are so young, they're just getting better and better. And he's such a key piece in that cog. I wouldn't, like, honestly, if you said Paolo Banchero, I wouldn't have hated it.
I was debating it, but I figured he was a little more established.
Like, the Magic are just getting better and better as, again, Ja Morant won the award after being an All-Star. The award's ruined. So Paolo absolutely could win it, but I think that Franz is in a better place to win it, just because I feel like he can make a bigger jump in his production than Paolo will. Just because Paolo's already that guy.
You know who I want to win it? I'm still on the bandwagon. I don't give a fuck. Fuck y'all. Cade Cunningham.
Ew. My problem with Cade isn't that I don't think he's good. My problem with Cade is that he plays on such a bad team that has never gotten better that I'm just wondering, like, could you put a bench point guard, like, could you put Jordan Poole on that team and him do it? And obviously the answer is probably no, because Jordan Poole is ass this season.
Oh my god.
But I would argue the Pistons as a team are slightly better than the Wizards. What would it take for you to consider a successful Detroit Pistons season right now? Is it like 20 wins? Is it just outside? I think it's just outside of a play-in game. I don't think like they have been so bad for so long that I think 20 wins is a successful season for the Detroit Pistons.
That's sad.
It's sad, but am I wrong?
No, you're not
wrong. And I think Cade could get you there, but I don't think that gets Cade most improved player. Because I don't know how much...
How many fucking top 10 picks do they have to have a successful season? Like, eventually math has to be on your side and the law of averages has to, like, fall in your favor.
How many times did the 76ers pick first overall?
That's fair.
That's
But I mean, math did eventually fall in their favor, though.
Math did fall in their favor, but there's a difference between top 10 and 101. Because, again, you go back, Nerlens Noel. What was Okafor's first name? Regardless.
Jaleel.
Jaleel Okafor. 10 years in the past, those are all-star players. Bad timing on the drafting. But 10 years ago, those were all-stars. Because you go back to, like, when were they drafted?
Who, Jaleel? Like, 2016.
Jaleel was 20... Are you serious? That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, no.
That does not feel right.
Jaleel Okafor draft was 2015.
That does not feel right.
I was off by a year. That'll be 10 years ago in like a few months.
Jesus Christ.
Say.
So 2005, 2006. Tim Duncan was top 10 in MVP voting, and then it was a bunch of wings. So that doesn't really make my point. But this was the time when, like, Ben Wallace was still winning DPOY. Andre Kirilenko was number 2 in voting this year. The point I'm making is, like, you had superstar or star players that were that classic back-to-basket big that could not shoot to save their lives. Jaleel Okafor would have been nice in 2005. He was not nice in 2015. So I don't think, like, odds were in the Sixers' favor. They just were refusing to adapt to the change. Because 2015, that was after Steph Curry changed how we played basketball.
Was it right after, or was it...
It was, like, 2014 was really when I remember first, like, being like, yo, this guy's crazy. So let's 2015 NBA draft. Who else was taken this year? Okay, that's the wrong year. 2016 or 2014 NBA draft. It's 2014, 2015.
What are you talking about? I'm looking at the draft now. Cat was the number one pick. D'Lo was the second. Jaleel was the third. Chris Stapps.
So there were options on the table for modern bigs. That was Miles Turner's draft. And yes. They went with...
Yeah, Kristaps was right after that. Yeah.
So I'm going to do the edgy teenager thing. You know the scene in Joker?
Hey, Devin Booker was part of that.
When he's being interviewed by Murray and he says, you get what you deserve?
Yeah.
Math wasn't in the Pistons' favor. The Pistons just could not help themselves. They deserved this.
Deserved what? They've basically been a successful franchise since this.
Yes, but they could have been successful earlier.
Huh?
Like, Willie Cauley-Stein had a better career as a center than Jaleel Okafor.
Yeah, he did.
Jeremy Grant was number 19. Bobby Portis, 22. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Tyus Jones. And obviously, I mean, Tyus Jones went 24. No one saw that coming. Montrezl Harrell had a better career. Rashawn Holmes had a better career as a center. The point is, like, they deserved this. They deserved this. Never mind. I retract everything I said because I thought Jahlil Okafor was drafted earlier. They should have known better. The league was changing. They didn't do it.
Ren fixed himself in real time.
Yeah. Yep. No, they deserved this one. This wasn't, like, circumstance. This was just stupid decisions. That was the D'Lo draft. Mm-hmm. That wasn't that long ago. It was 10 years ago, but that wasn't that long ago. Talking about the Pistons, though. They should be better. I think 26 wins. Like, my prediction is 26 wins for the Pistons. I think that's a successful year. They will not make the play-in. But they will also not be the odds-on favorite for the 101. And as much as, like, they could use that 101, they are still a young team that's developing. Let them grow. Let them win some games. Bring Detroit basketball back. What's the next award? Next award will be Defensive Player of the Year. Do you have one? I think we all, like, even Austin will probably agree on this one for, like, the key piece.
Rudy Gobert?
Fuck you.
It's Wembanyama.
It is.
It's a lock. Like, I'm almost at the point of saying I'm not going to predict a dark horse because I think it's so far.
I think I can predict a dark horse. Mobley.
I mean, who?
Evan Mobley.
I guess.
Never mind.
I think Mobley or Adebayo are probably the two that have the best shot, but it's weird to say who I think will be two or three are a dark horse.
That's
kind of what I'm saying. Like, I feel like
where we're at.
Yeah, because I feel like this is Wemby's award to lose. I think NBA.
Maybe Chet Holmgren? I don't know.
I just want to look at the Vegas odds. Cool. Yeah, Wembanyama's +150. In some sports books, he's -125. Chet's number two, +380. AD's number four, Evan Mobley's number
four. I was thinking AD.
Again, your dark horse pick is that AD's a good dark horse pick because he has to play 65 games. But I feel like it's not even like a debate. I think this is Wemby's award to lose. If he's healthy, he's winning this award. Sixth Man of the Year is more intriguing. I do think there is a clear answer, though. And it's not the reason you think. Like, everyone's going to think scorer. I'm not going to scorer. I think defensive acumen is going to win Sixth Man of the Year. And I think it's going to be Alex Caruso from the OKC Thunder.
Alex Caruso?
Yeah. So in the history of the award, because it's not that old, there have only been three players that have averaged less than 10 points and won the award. Bill Walton, Bobby Jones, and Anthony Mason, who, to be fair, Anthony Mason averaged 9.9. I just think that Caruso's defense is so good that I feel like voters will acknowledge that. Because I think you can see a difference whenever he's on the court and how teams are progressing the ball, because he's probably, I wouldn't say he's in like the top wing defenders in the NBA or even perimeter defenders in the NBA, but he is probably the most efficient point of attack stopper in the NBA. And we have so many qualified guards right now that I think that if you're just eye testing it, his production in terms of opponent points not allowed versus his own points scored is probably going to be greater than anyone else that are on the table.
I think you're overthinking this.
What?
I think you're overthinking this.
Who do you think?
Benedict Mathurin.
Ew. As a Pacers fan, let me say this with all sincerity.
Ew. You just said ew to your own goddamn player?
Ew. I don't even know if Benedict Mathurin will be on the team at the trade deadline.
Oh my god.
Well, that's not... Okay, so it's not because of his inadequacies as a player, because I think he's a very talented NBA player. It's just, if I'm asking you, okay, Angelo, you are running an NBA team. Here's your two options. You can build around Tyrese Halliburton, or you can build around Benedict Mathurin. Who are you building around?
I had a chance to do something funny, but it's Tyrese Halliburton.
It's Tyrese Halliburton. The problem is you cannot play Benedict Mathurin and Tyrese Halliburton together on the court at the same time because they are both so tragically bad at defense. You can't say, like, to your franchise player, you've got to be better because we want this guy that's coming off the bench to play. Like, it's not how it works. Like, your pieces around your star player, and Tyrese Halliburton, for all intents and purposes, is the star of the Indiana Pacers. You don't tell him he has to make changes to fit the bench player currently into the lineup. That's not how that works. So I feel like the emergence of Ben Shepherd and Jairus Walker has kind of made Benedict Mathurin expendable. And so while I think that statistically Benedict Mathurin could be Sixth Man of the Year, absolutely, I think by the trade deadline he might be moved for a piece to start alongside Tyrese Halliburton. And so he would be ineligible for Sixth Man of the Year. That's what I'm saying, too. I don't think the fit's going to be there by the end of the season to be a bench player. Statistically, it's a pretty good pick. So, take with that what you will. Austin, who do you have?
For a sixth man?
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk.
I debated it. Because he probably would have won last year if not for getting hurt.
Yeah.
And also Naz Reid is kind of just nice. Not a dark horse, but how do you guys feel about Dante DiVincenzo?
See ya. Is he starting, though?
No, he's coming off the bench right now.
He's coming off the bench, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to do a dark horse for Sixth Man of the Year because...
They're all dark horses.
They're all dark horses. So we won't do one. We will go along. Malik Monk is safe if he stays healthy, actually. I think that's actually... I might shift my vote to him by midseason. I'm going to take it. Rookie of the Year. This one's interesting because I think the lock is Reed Shepherd. Do we agree on that?
Nope.
We don't.
For what? I'm sorry?
Rookie of the Year. So this is one that's tough because I don't think we can really do dark horses here. Who's your other pick then, Edie?
Believe it or not.
Who is even drafted? Holy shit.
He's going to say Bronny.
It's going to be Rashar.
Rashar?
Yep. Rashar, yeah. Sorry.
I don't know. I can't say that. I think he's going to be the best player overall.
I think he's going to be the best player in the Hawks by the end of the season.
I think he's going to be the best player out of this draft class when it's all said and done. I just don't think that's this year. I don't think he's in an ideal circumstance. I think that the Hawks are a decent team.
Yeah, he's playing with Trae Young. But
that will elevate him.
I don't know about that one.
Is Trae or is Trae not a good playmaker? Like, ignore everything else about his volume shooting. He's is right. he or is he not a good playmaker?
He's all right.
He's all right.
He's probably top five. He's probably top five. If you can argue, like, I would like to know who you...
I would put top five there, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to get more open opportunities, and regardless of how you feel about Trey, he does take defensive attention away from the rest of his team. Better or worse, he does. I just don't know if Risa Char is at the point in his career, in his development. Like, we knew he was going to be... It's weird to call him a project, but we knew it was not going to be an immediate, like, thing where he was going to suddenly come in and be a superstar. So I think by the end of careers, he will be the best player in this draft class. I can't say that I'm going to pick him to win Rookie of the Year. I do think it's Zach Edey, and it's because I think Edey is in the perfect situation for him to thrive, because one, he's on a competent team, because the Grizzlies are probably going to be a playoff lock. Let's be real. Ja Morant is an explosive guard. As long as he keeps his gun in his pants and doesn't threaten any more teenagers, he will play the rest of the season. He is with a power forward who is an elite defender that can make up for Edie's defensive liabilities. Edey shot 80% from the rim in his last year of college. He has a ridiculous, like, 86% free throw generation rate, which is, like, how much he gets to the line on attempts. It's constantly. There's elite perimeter defenders in Marcus Smart and Desmond Bain to help kind of take that pressure off of him. They can kind of hide him and just let him be an offensive weapon for Ja in the pick and roll, because he's massive and is going to erase people. Reed Sheppard is going to be close. Like, I think this Rookie of the Year is going to be between those two players, and I think it's going to be like neck and neck until the end of the season. And I do think Edey will take it, because I think Edey is in a better situation where he doesn't have to be the guy, but he's going to get the production because he's playing with a better team. Like, is Sheppard even going to be starting in Houston?
So here's the problem. Here's the problem with that logic. I think playing with a good team is good for development. Don't take what I'm about to say as that. But if you want to win an award like Rookie of the Year, where, you know, essentially the amount of wins on your team doesn't matter, right? Can we agree with that? Mm-hmm. The amount of teams your team gets doesn't matter for Rookie of the Year. So you want stats. Well, how does one acquire stats? One acquires stats by putting up shots. How does one put up shots? Be on a shit team where you don't have competition for those shots. What?
Like, I get what you're saying. I am the guy. Someone's got to make those shots. Like, if you were to have a quote book of things Ren has said on this podcast, someone has to make the shots. I totally get it. Totally get it. 100%. I agree with you. Someone has to make those shots. It's not going to be Cooper Flagg. Or not Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg is next year. It's not going to be Reed Sheppard. It's not going to be... Who did you say? Risa Char. Because Risa Char is going to be contending with one of the highest volume usage players in the NBA.
For half a season, maybe. What?
Edey is going to be catching lobs, pocket passes, and second chance rebounds from Ja Morant, who's one of the best slashers in the NBA. In general, I agree. You're going to get more looks if you're playing on a bad team. I don't think the Hawks are as bad as you think. I think they'll be a play-in team. I don't think they make the playoffs, but they make the postseason. Postseason is play-in. I think they make the postseason. They don't make the playoffs. I don't think they're good enough to get into the playoffs. Granted, it's one game. They can do it. You get hot at the right time. The Grizzlies, I just think, are so good that Edie's going to get a lot more looks than you're giving credit for. And I think that's going to be because he's playing with players so talented.
He's
going to
be the fourth option on the team.
Right, but he's also going to be getting a lot of cleanup points.
And I guess we're just going to keep Rishashar in the discussion. If we compare to Rishashar, he's going to be the second and then the first option.
Where do you think Trey's going?
He's either getting traded or he's going to accept that he's the playmaker of the team and be taking the second most shots.
Okay, so that second one, that's not happening. Trey has way too much of an ego.
Okay, he's getting traded.
Okay, what are they getting back? Because you've got to factor in contract. You've got to factor in contract, okay? What kind of players are getting a Trae Young contract?
Bad ones.
What? Trae Young contract. So he signed a 5-year, $215 million contract.
Sure.
So you're getting back a player that's making at least $45,000 this year, or $45 million this year. Quite. Not $45,000. So you think the Hawks are trading Trae Young for, like, Devin Booker?
No, he's not worth Devin Booker.
Zach LaVine.
I can see that.
It would also take picks. But then,
trading.
But then Zach LaVine is now your number one scoring option, because if he's not, it's a waste. Not. No, that is Zach LaVine's role. He's either the number one option or it's a waste of time.
Well, them's the shakes.
I just don't see it. Like, because if they trade him, it's going to be for a piece that's going to demand touches.
I don't know. You say that, and then the deal could center around Rudy Gobert, and then here we are.
That would be the worst possible timeline for Anthony Edwards.
It really would. But if the Timberwolves did it, would it surprise you?
Because, no. Like, Anthony Edwards could win MVP this year if everything stays the same. I feel like the Timberwolves are on the cusp of either blowing up or blowing up.
Yeah.
Like, if you get what I'm saying, like, it's one of the two.
You know.
And, like, no matter what, Anthony Edwards is going to be there. They're not trading Anthony Edwards. It would be ridiculous. Unless he demands a trade, then they would. But
he might. I would. I want to be in fucking Minnesota.
Austin, who you got for Rookie of the Year?
It's so long. Who do I think will win it, or who do I want to win it?
Who do you think will win it?
Who do I think will win it? I think I'm with Angelo with Rishashar. Who do I want to win it? Dalton from the Lakers.
Dalton connect. That, you know, honest to God, I don't hate that odd. Like, he seems like he's come in to be the most NBA-ready prospect.
Oh, yeah, that was a good pick.
I don't know how long, like, that lasts as the rest of the class starts to, like, get used to the NBA speed. Like, Connect was very much ready for the speed of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to that ceiling floor thing. I don't know if Connect has a higher ceiling than a Zach Edey, Rishashar, Alex Sarr, whoever the case may be, Reed Sheppard. But I would love to see it. Like, I would not love to see it. It's the fucking Lakers. I don't want to see Lakers get another good piece. But for, like, to have a player that's drafted that low blossom, that'd be great.
Granted, I don't think we were doing episodes when this happened, but I think I said at the time that Connect was a great pick for the Lakers.
Oh, no, he's a fantastic pick. He fits right. Perfectly. And, yeah, no, I love that fit, especially now. To be fair, I did not follow Connect in college, but them's the shakes. Like, it's working, so all the power to him. think that's it for regular season awards. Do you think there will be any surprises on, like, first team All NBA? Anyone that, like, will jump just real quick?
I don't think so.
It's really hard to think of, like, all the first teams of recent years. That's actually, that's way too much of an ask on the spot.
There's so many good players.
Like, yeah. That's way too much to ask on the spot. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, that's a dumb question.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. So, Western Conference, who is your one seed and who's making it to the NBA Finals? Angela.
It's the same answer. It's the Mavericks.
Do you want to talk through it or you want to just move on?
What do you mean? What's to talk through? They have Luka, they have Kyrie, they have Klay. They have Lively for another season.
What's happening after that season?
Right? What happened to Lively?
Lively is going to get lost on an island in the Bahamas.
Paid by Mark Cuban.
Hey, Mark's not in charge anymore.
He's a figurehead for the time being.
Yeah.
Is he still actually? I don't think he is. I think the new owner like kicked him out.
Yeah. I think he's part of the organization. Like he's on like a committee at this point. But no, I don't think.
Yeah, he's still a minority owner. But yeah.
Yeah.
Like a board of governors type position.
Like any of the day to day decisions.
I mean, roster wise, sure. Austin, who you got? Who do you got as the one seed and making it out of the West?
Mavs on both.
Oh my god.
What did you expect from me?
So I have
if you had this good of a roster, you would have done the same thing.
I have the Thunder being one in the West, but I don't have them making the Western Conference Finals. I think that will be...
Say it.
Go ahead, say it, Aaron. Say, you think it'll be? Go on. Waiting. No pressure.
I think it will be Minnesota.
You're nuts. You're crazy.
I think it'll be Minnesota. No. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go back to 2020. If I had said the Miami Heat are making it out of the Eastern Conference, you would have.
That's a good team. That's the team you want to be compared to. The team that Ren spends his days.
I'm saying PTSD,
making jokes about.
What I'm saying is, I think the playoffs will come around, and I don't think the Timberwolves will be like. I think they'll be like 4 or 5, right? I'm not saying they're like.
I think they'll be worse than that.
I think that the playoffs will come around.
They might be in a playing team, honestly.
Even if they are. And I think Anthony Edwards will have his welcome to superstardom moment where he becomes a legitimate household name and carries the team to the.
I mean, depending on who you ask, he already is. He has his, like, his little fanboy group who already thinks he's the best player in the NBA, so.
Keep in mind, if you've listened for a while, you know I'm not a fan of Anthony Edwards. I just think that he could have that moment, and I'm going to...
You just didn't want
to
agree with us and say the
Mavericks. I'm not going to be a little baby and pick my number one seed to also make the finals. And I'm also not going to just...
Okay, so if you did that last year with...
Did I? If I'm not mistaken, I said the Sacramento Kings. Go fuck yourself.
No, I said if you did that last year, would you not choose the Celtics to do both?
Last year, would I have? I'd have to go, did I say the Celtics last year?
I don't remember.
I think I did. But okay, so let's Eastern Conference. Who's your one seed and who's making it?
Celtics are my one seed.
Who's making it? Say it.
The Orlando Magic.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... Huh.
Huh.
Yes, that is...
Fuck you.
What?
Stop stealing my moments.
Oh my god.
No, real shit, that's what I was thinking too.
Okay, so I'm not gonna be a bitch. I'm not gonna be a bitch.
How is that being a bitch?
Go ahead. Go on.
One in the Eastern Conference will be the New York Knicks.
Wow.
Play-in team at best. Not at best.
Number two. Play-in team. Number two be the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You think they're going all the way?
I think the Celtics are the three seed in the East.
I think you're crazy, but whatever.
All right. Listen. Jason Tatum is going to be too focused on trying to be Kobe to play basketball correctly. Now, granted, so far this season they're 3-0. I'll give it to you. They're 3-0. It's early in the season.
But so are the Lakers and so are the Cavs.
The Lakers and Cavs are both 3-0. Granted, the Cavs are currently the 2 seed in the East, which is where I think they're going to finish. So that works.
ESPN has them as 1.
For who's going to make it out of the East, I think it'll be the Cavs. I think this is a make or break season for the Cavs.
I agree.
I mean, even a break season is Darius Garland being traded, right? Like, you're not trading Evan Mobley.
I think that might actually happen before the season is over, before the trade deadline.
Yeah, yeah. I think that it's not out of the realm of possibility for Darius Garland and Jared Allen to be traded. Evan Mobley is safe. Donovan Mitchell is safe. Isaac Okoro is safe because, like, the value he provides for his contract. Who?
Wing defender. Yeah.
Do they not just blow it up?
They won't just blow it up. I think that you're just trying to get assets back for those two players. And when we're, again, it's like the Trae Young conundrum. If you trade Trae Young, you're getting quality back. Like, Darius Garland is a quality NBA player. It's just you have two guards that are 6'1 on your team. It doesn't really work. Jared Allen, one of the better rim protectors, but he's kind of a liability on offense.
Like, you said that, and then, like, it just added in my head, what if the Cavs do the stupid thing and they trade for Trae Young? That's how they
they won't. If they trade, the whole point is to move Donovan Mitchell to the one. Yeah. Bring in a two guard.
But that would
the
be
question is who is available and, like, what contracts make sense, and you're not gonna like it.
Oh no.
Who is it?
Zach LaVine kind of makes sense.
There's no defense.
There's no defense, but he is bigger. Like, there's no defense right now. And he's a better off-ball player than Darius Garland.
Crazy.
Not by much. But he's a better offensive player than Darius Garland.
You are crazy.
Besides that, I can't think right off. Who, unless, like, another team like the Timberwolves decide to blow it up, or the Warriors, like, regardless, the point of the principle would be to bring in a bigger wing defending guard. And then moving for a modern big. Because Jared Allen, love him to death. He's not a modern big. And in that case, do you just move Evan Mobley to the center?
Yeah, you just move Evan Mobley down. Bring he's more of a modern big.
Yeah. So, like, there's definitely options. Like, maybe bring back Lauri Markkanen to play your four. Would not hate that. Would not hate that fit.
You mean the guy that we traded?
They traded for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
But I don't hate that fit. Maybe you go get a guy like, I don't know, Benedict Mathurin.
Benedict Mathurin would actually, ironically, be a very good fit.
It would fit really well. It's just the Cavs don't really have it. Like, the only thing, like, I would want from the Cavs would be Isaac Okoro, and Isaac Okoro for Benedict Mathurin, that doesn't really... like the numbers don't add up for me. I think they're similar players now, but I think Mathurin has a higher ceiling.
But we don't judge them on their ceiling.
Sorry, anyway, let's time warp back to 1996 where you both just pick the Chicago Bulls to make the NBA Finals because you're so creative. I like the fact that Angelo's always like, oh, that's a safe pick. You're a bitch pick. And then he's like, oh, yeah, the Celtics are making the finals.
When did I say that?
We said they were the one seed in the Magic win. Go to the finals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same thing.
Fuck, you're arguing with yourself at this point. What the fuck are you looking for?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Is it?
It's
it
not.
Is. Fuck you.
Is it true?
Any other predict? Like, do you want to do any other predictions for this season?
Who's gonna win it all?
Who's gonna win it all? That's the question.
That's what I didn't think it's true. Who do you think it's gonna be?
Dallas. In my scenario where it's Dallas Magic, I think it's Dallas. Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's a win-win. Honestly,
if I'm being a pragmatist. The Thunder.
I think.
So here's the thing.
So Boston winning that championship kind of made people forget that Boston has a nice long history of choking in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of wiped it all away. So I'm more or less waiting for who they're going to choke to. I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be the 76ers. But we'll see.
76ers got to be healthy, though.
That's also true.
Like, if the 76ers are healthy, they're a sneaky pick for, like, a 3 seed to make a run.
Yeah.
If they're healthy. If they're healthy.
It's because they haven't beat, and it's really hard to match up with Embiid one-on-one. Like, just defensively
and
scheming.
Paul George and Tyrese Maxey just make your life living hell, and you can't trap Embiid because he's just gonna kick. Yeah.
Yep.
On paper, that team is unstoppable. Unfortunately, that paper is written in like medical grade ink.
You could have just said pencil, man.
Pencil, no, medical grade, because they're gonna miss a lot of time. They're already missing time. It's a week into the season, and Paul George and Joel Embiid are out. So is Kawhi Leonard, by the way. Guess that load management's really working. Hasn't even played a game. Already hurt. Get out of here. That's your superstar.
2-1.
Angelo. That's your Angelo. The worst part is, the Thunder own the Clippers pick this year. So if Kawhi is Kawhi for this entire year, the league is fucked because like the Thunder are gonna get Ace Bailey or Cooper Flagg on top of what they've already got. NBA is gonna have to step in, make some rules, do a cold envelope again so that they don't win the draft lottery and end up outside of the top four. All because Kawhi Leonard is ass.
Is ass or is unavailable?
He's unavailable because he's ass.
Oh my
Because
God.
He listened to Uncle Dennis instead of doctors. Because the Spurs came out and said, this man needs medical attention. And he was like, no, my uncle, who is Google certified, says you're wrong. And they started this whole thing where like we villainized the Spurs. You remember that?
Google
certified. Not we. Like, I didn't. You didn't. But like, as a fan, like sports fandom, we villainized the Spurs and acted like they were in the wrong with the whole Kawhi Leonard situation. That was bullshit. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it now because they were right. And he probably needed more regimens. What else you guys got?
Nothing.
Angela, you good?
Yeah, the Pacers suck.
Yeah, right now, I don't know what's going on. It's been embarrassing. They're actually about to tip off in 10 minutes.
Great to watch, you know. I get to watch the Pacers lose every week.
Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam have been nice. They're bright spots. Tyrese, yeah, though. Ooh. He'll be fine.
But yeah, that's all for me. All
right. Hey, guys, if you like what we do here, comment, like, subscribe. Do whatever your platform lets you do. Leave us a review, an honest one. We want to improve, so do that. Besides that, check out Alex and Angelo over on the Football Podcast on, is it still Tuesdays and Sundays or Tuesdays and Thursdays, or did you move it?
Good talk.
Subscribe and hit the notification thing and it'll tell you when they post. I think it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. I don't think anything's changed in the 8 weeks we've been gone. Besides that, we will be back on Sunday for another episode, hopefully. The plan is to be back to normal. We will figure it out. You will be a part of that. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great week. Love you. Bye.
Peace out, Girl Scout.